Tom freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What happened here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and beasts, this is the ESE podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite, your weekly breakdown, review, and diabolical crash out about AEW. How's it going? I'm one half of your hosting duo on the Digital Duke, also the Digital Phantom, also known as the Christmas Adventurer.
Shit! You're out. It's over. It's done.
Nope, you're done. Nope.
GG.
Lockjaw. No, Lockjaw. Wow. What a fucking crazy group.
One battle after another on the mind.
The Christmas Adventure.
Great movie, guys.
What a fun term that would be, and now it's forever ruined. It's probably a reference to something that we just don't know, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everything in that was like subtle, but also not subtle. But yeah, so check out our One Battle After Another review over on ESE Fantasy on your podcast platforms. But yeah, I mean, we are back again with more AEW review. We got some really exciting stuff announced this week for the future, for stuff for WrestleDream, stuff for the future coming weeks. We have a big, like, 4 shows in 8 days coming up, so we'll have to figure out how we're going to recover that properly. I mean, we'll probably just have to watch it when we watch it, and then it'll just come out when it comes out, but it's going to be a lot. So we'll have to see how that plays. It'll be like
where the tide turns,
to be honest with you. It's gonna play out. I just might be misunderstanding. Maybe you'll explain it to me more later in notes, but I think it's just 2 weeks of television. They're just calling it a lot in 8 days because they had to move one show inside that 8 days, I guess, which is fine, you know, because there's something going on that Saturday or something, right? So they pushed it to Wednesday, and then they're doing Dynamite on Tuesday. Is that how it's gonna work? So it's not really, we'll just review it like normal. It's just on Tuesday when the show is going to be coming out will be when this comes out. Am I correct in that? Did I get that all right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so we don't even have to bring that up.
What we can say right now is next week's podcast will be Monday.
Correct, yeah. We'll be doing the one for this week's shows. So the shows that are coming out tomorrow, since we're recording this on Tuesday, the Dynamite, what is that, anniversary? Or is it 6 year? Yeah, 6 year anniversary, right? The 6 year anniversary show review will be out Monday, and then we'll obviously watch the Tuesday show. You know, I wasn't sure we hadn't released it, but I just clicked in my head. I was like, I couldn't figure out how it worked until just a second. So there we go. Anyway, that being said, a brief apology, bit of a truncated edition of the pod this episode, but lock in because we're going to get through it. So with that being said, other than that, Charlie, how are you doing today, my friend? How are you doing? How's you big chilling?
Pretty damn good. I'm ready to talk about, as we get into it, we got some big announcements with Blood and Guts in these tag titles.
So. Oh, yeah, the women's division is cooking, you might say.
But before we can get into all that, we have our favorites of the week.
And for this time, I'll be taking the lead. I didn't take like super deep notes on this one, I'll be honest. It kind of worked out for this week. Like, I just, you know, I didn't lock in as much into Collision, but this particular match I did, and that was Kyle Fletcher versus Commander for the TNT Championship. Man, shout out to Commander for just never not being relevant. He did kind of disappear there for a little bit, I'm assuming, though, that there was good reason for that, like either
injury.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not like they weren't going to use him. They just couldn't. He was not able to physically perform. And now that he's back, he jumps straight back in. Everybody's excited to see him, and he puts on a great match against Kyle Fletcher. And, you know, Commander was, as I like to say in this match, on the hop, which I really liked. He was really flopping like a fish around in this one. They were pushing the pace in this one. And there was one spot. Kyle was also doing this thing where he was wrestling really pissed off, and it just looked like he's like, stop this, you luchador, stop it. Stay in the floor. I want to beat you up. But, you know, there was a spot, Charlie, and it might be one of the best spots of the year, where they did the rope run that where he was going to do the dive to the outside or dive onto something, and Kyle jumps out of the way. He dives back into the ring, and then Commander pivots on the rope and jumps into a Canadian destroyer.
Yeah.
That might be spot of the year, honestly.
It shows the talent and the athletical fucking ability of these guys. It's
athletical. All right. I like that.
And just trusting of each other.
100%.
I mean, that's the kind of move that you have to severely trust your brother.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that was all like, that's the kind of thing where like the timing has to be so perfect and the performance has to be so, like you said, athletic. Like Kyle has to be able to make that flip off of while Commander's midair and flipping over, because if he doesn't time it perfectly, Commander doesn't catch on him, and they don't flip over together, and Commander just lands on his neck or something, you know? So like,
and it's a bad time for everyone involved if that doesn't work out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no. So yeah, that's, and so the match itself, I said, like, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed, excuse me, this one. Kyle's TNT title run is going to be fun to talk about when it does eventually end, because all the matches have been pretty much bangers that I can remember. I don't think there's been a bad one so far. It's kind of like that MJF title reign where there just wasn't any bad matches, really, other than maybe like one. And it wasn't even like a title match. I think it was like a eliminator in that one that we were like, meh, but we didn't count it because it wasn't a part of the reign technically. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, that being said, I'll toss it over to you and see if you had anything you wanted to add about this match. But I really fucking like this one. Kyle Fletcher's obviously still cooking. Commander back in action, looking like a fucking $1 million. And, you know, this is all kind of sort of like loosely tied in with the clone stuff as well. So, you know.
Yes, which news, you know, on so, that. We'll have news on that in the news segment here. But yeah, I mean, Kyle Fletcher continuing his great run of form that he's been in, if you want to use a soccer term here. He's in great form. He's putting on great matches. And it continues yet again on Collision. Commander, back from injury. Doesn't look like he missed a step. You're immediately reminded again why we loved Commander, because there's no one like him. You know, I think luchadors sometimes get that stigma and you're like, oh, they all learn the same. They all wrestle the same. And it's like, I don't think you just, I understand everyone grew up wanting to wrestle, you know, guys like Rey Mysterio, and they just kind of assume everyone's Rey Mysterio. But yet you see Commander and you're like, I've missed that. He brings something different to the table. So, yeah, excited to see where he fits back in.
You know what just hit me? Like, if we did four just specifically luchador pillars, it would be, like, probably, the breakdown would be, like, what? Like, Beast Morstos, Commander, Hologram, and then I was just thinking of one a second ago.
And Roosh. Toss Roosh in there.
Yeah, that would be our four, that would be our four luchador pillars. Not that that's official, by the way. That's not, like, an official pillar. But if we had pillars of just lucha guys, I think that would be it, because those are the guys that deliver every single time. And
yeah.
You know, they have all the intrigue. So, you know,
we had four title matches this week, and this to me was the only one that truly felt like a title match. So I don't know what that was about that. And maybe that's something, I don't know. But for me, this is the one that felt like a real title match. And we are getting into the meat, getting into the goodies. And I really enjoyed this match. So, yes, Kyle Fletcher's TNT title reign continues, right? Well, let's jump into Dynamite, where, funny enough,
Dynamite.
I also had a title match, and it was an AEW World title match with Adam Page versus Lee Moriarty.
What a jump for Lee Moriarty, by the way, to be in this position. But we've been on this guy for a while, but like, it's kind of cool, you know, like.
Yeah, it was nice because it was a reminder of almost when Hangman kind of gave Dante Martin that open shot, got vibes from that. But what did he do in this? He let Lee Moriarty get his offense in, show off his technical fucking wizardry that he has. And Hangman was able to show off, hey, buddy, hey, little guy, I'm not just some brawler.
Rocket.
Like, so Hangman did his thing. I just thought everyone kind of looked really good in this. So I've got no problem with an open challenge. Again, we've done this so many times with our champions, the world champions. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a title match. Don't know how to describe that. Take that for what you will. I don't know. It didn't feel like a title match, but. You know, that's what fair. It is. But it was nice. And Danielson,
I think the best way to describe it like that is like you never believed Lee ever had a chance, which sucks. You know, like it's like
I'll give it to you this. Until I was double checking the notes here, I thought it was a proving grounds match. So do that for what you will. So Danielson, again, he's getting more and more comfortable on commentary. Not that he's been bad, but we've been able to see him get more comfortable. And
It's not he's necessarily he's always been good at commentary. Whenever he would put on. Like when they would put him on commentary for people's matches, he was always good. I think it's just transitioning him now from doing that, which is still good when he does do that, but to actually being like a commentator.
Yeah.
Like maybe him and Joe just need to sit down, you know, because Joe did this for a while and I'm sure he had to make a similar mental transition. Yeah, he's getting more comfortable
in the role. And I think a match like this really helped him kind of lay the table. He is doing what Kevin Kelly did so well in terms of laying the table for the match and explaining how Lee Moriarty's defeated technical fucking masters like Nigel McGuinness and Blue Panther.
He does, where he has credibility because we've seen him. And once he says stuff like Hangman Page is really underrated technically, we watched them wrestle. We know he knows personally. So it's like, you know, like, I'm just saying, you know, like.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And yeah, good match there. So a couple good matches this week. And an overall, a little bit of a weaker week, as we kind of touched on. But we do have some news that we want
to think of Bryan Danielson as AEW history at this point, but he is.
Yeah, he is. He is.
He's no longer a wrestler that's actively wrestling. It's done.
So some news heavy. Here. Okay, let's get into a couple of these. The first thing here, Mina Shirakawa and Zesui were announced for the CMLL Women's International Grand Prix. Julia Hart, Sky Blue, Tekla, and Diamante were also announced for Team International.
All right, let's get to the Diamante angle on Dynamite. I'm down.
I'm down. So they, just a follow-up from, actually, I think we mentioned that after the show, but still.
So like, been, they're in the Grand Prix, they're going to have them do a story with the people in the Grand Prix are going to be fighting each other in AEW. Inevitably, that's usually how that
sometimes
works.
Sometimes they do that. So
I'm so down. Like,
and then there's wrestlers from TJPW and MLW, as well as Rev Pro in the match, so the Grand Prix is really living up to its thing again.
Honestly, when you say that, what I just said feels even more valid now, because especially with the Japanese women involved, they, I feel like they should definitely showcase all this on AEW if they can.
AEW has filed 2 bacon-related trademarks. September 24th, AEW Bacon Brawl and Bacon Brawl have been trademarks applied. Whoa. Goods and services related to cookware, merchandising, and food. Shirts, prepared meals.
They're going to do a bacon brawl.
Yes, so.
Is this, wait, Charlie. Is this Meat Mania?
I fucking hope so. Okay. Bad news. Hologram out for the rest of 2025. The Klon storyline has been put on hold. This comes from Tony Khan. He said in a post on Twitter, it looks like, get well soon at Hologram. Talked about how it was Kyle Fletcher that did it, but we all know it really wasn't. It was actually something else. And he said he's likely out for the rest of 2025. So it could be a 3-month injury again. Injury. We're already at the end of 2025, so take that for what you will. And you know, I want to mention this.
On pause. I wish we could just have the Klon come in and just do stuff for that a while. Been cool. But then it would be, what story can you even tell? It'd just be Hologram 2.0, right? And then
I wanted to mention this because, you know, he's a former pillar of ours, and that's Ricky Starks is the new NXT champion. So, you know, he's our only pillar that's left. So I guess
we never put the title on him over here. Yeah. He did over there. I'll give it to him.
He won the NXT championship, so good for him. So, yeah, he's one of our former pillars, and it was at NXT. This was actually called No Mercy. That's kind of cool. So there you go. Ricky Starks picking up a big one. So good for him.
They have been recycling the old pay-per-view names at NXT recently, I've noticed.
That's pretty cool. So shout out Ricky. Shout out, what we call him? Ricky Von Rickett. I don't know. the Rickett.
I don't remember. Lord Rickard of the House Stocks.
There it is. Lord Rickard of House Stocks. There it is. I knew it was something. On Wednesday, November 12th, AEW's most violent match heads to the First Horizon Coliseum. So they're going to Greensboro, North Carolina for Blood and Guts on Wednesday, November 12th. So keep an eye out for that. Wow. And yeah, that's it for news. Nothing too crazy today, like I said. And we have a little bit of a truncated show on Dynamite and Collision, but we will still spend time on the good stuff. That being said, Duke,
on the goodies,
let me throw it to you. It's your call here.
Dynamite. All right.
No Brit in Britsburg.
In Britsburg, no Brit though.
All right. GGs.
Is that a sign? Do you think
it's GGs? Yep.
Yeah. No Brit in Britsburg. GGs. All right. We opened up the show with a little bit of rundown of the matches and stuff. And then we also go to the backstage area where we have Hangman Adam Page, who's saying some stuff about, like, basically saying to Kyle Fletcher, hey, you proved something to me I didn't know. So don't waste that opportunity, bitch. So, okay. And then he also challenged me to wrestle his ass.
In line with Hangman's character.
Yeah, all this checked out. He was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I want people to give me their best. And you gave me your best, so I respect it. But you were not able to do it. So, you know, my prediction was correct. All right. We had GOA with Ricochet taking on Brody over the AEW World Tag Team Championships. We had Ricochet on commentary here. Bandido wanted to get the Meat Man early. And Brody was just like, your funeral, man, you know.
Not good for you.
Good stuff there. Toa looked really good here, in my opinion. And, you know, Khan still built like a Cameroonian god. Good pace. The Barks were in for fucking Bandido? Okay. You know, they retain. Big chilling, you know. Nothing special. Just a fucking good match, you know. It's what it is, you know. Conglomeration are conglomerating backstage. I wrote that down because that's what you always be saying.
They are conglomerating.
And Mark Briscoe is being secretive about the tag team partner, buddy. It's Orange Cassidy, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people didn't know. It is what it is, you know. Chris Statlander had some words to say after winning the world championship. And Charlie, was there a threat kind of against Harley? Kind of, sort of, subtly made here?
Maybe.
With the way she was acting? Maybe I'm just reading into it a little much. I mean, here's what I'll say.
I think she's Harley's tag partner, so yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I just don't know if this Death Riders thing is, like, is it done? Or is she just moving on? Like,
yeah, it's done.
Whatever, you know. Now Wheeler looks like even more of an idiot. Whatever, you know. But whatever. Whatever. We talked about the Hangman match. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage fully embrace each other again, but Adam Copeland has to go take care of his family, Charlie. He's been written off television, I would presume, for the rest of the year, right? Unless he's going to come back for another match later this year. Maybe he comes back at the... Okay, so here's a thought. Because the... Just jumping ahead. Angle is Christian Cage versus Nick Wayne now that Nick Wayne's back, right? So if that match can't happen before the end of the year, does he come back after Nick Wayne and Kip, like, and they're beating him down? Maybe they add somebody to their group or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, is that a thing? I have no idea.
I have no idea what exactly they're doing with this. There's a lot of rumors on he's filming. It's very odd.
It does seem sudden. Like, it felt like this was an active storyline that was about to kick off and now he's going. Sure. Yeah. I'm sure they'll pick it back up when he gets back.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Again, I imagine everyone in the back has known about these times. So, you know, maybe they just do want to skip over Wrestle Dream. It might be that simple.
Yeah, it could be. They just don't want to do anything at this
pay-per-view. They don't need to wrestle every pay-per-view. Again,
not at all.
These are the...
If there was ever a thing that would make him want to take off time, this is the thing. You know what I mean? His wife just got annihilated. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, like...
Wow.
Yeah. All right, really good segment up next. FTR addressing their actions at the pay-per-view. Cash says he has lost a lot of sleep since the pay-per-view. He also called Meth a micro brawl. Fuck.
Good pop there. Yeah, that was a good one.
No hose chant. Stokes says he let Beth spear him. He allowed it to happen, Charlie. And he almost called her bitch, Charlie. What the fuck's wrong with this guy?
He's upset.
Willow, okay, I gotta talk about Willow here. Willow comes out, interrupts. The confrontation with Stokely was fucking legendary, but fucking her talking about fucking her promo here was genuinely, like, actually great. I mean, Willow cuts good promos, but we haven't seen her do this in a while. She went out there in the ring and put on a brilliant promo talking about what things like Beth Copeland and women like that have done for the industry. I loved that, you know? Slapped the taste out of that fucking little short shit's mouth, and then Jetspeed came out, and so I guess it's gonna be Jetspeed versus FTR going forward, which I'm so down with, you know? And maybe a little bit of Willow. Is there a female that could add to that? That would be, like, interesting to fight Willow? I don't even know, you know? Wait a minute. But Statlander already hates Stokely, too. So that's kind of not really a thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. They'll figure it out. Or she'll just, you know, maybe they'll just pay someone to fight her. We'll see. They'll pay Megan Bain. There you go. That checks out, you know? Megan Bain's not hurt, right? Yeah, I think, right?
Yeah, I think she's good.
Yeah, so pay Megan Bain. Or pay Penelope, even. Either or both. Our MJF had a really good promo segment talking about post tables and tax. So he's going to tune himself back up to, you know, being the most evil bastard in the world. And he's going to go even further than he ever did before. So fuck, Charlie, if that doesn't bode not well for anyone, Jesus, you know,
great fucking promo by Max here.
Okada, Takeshita, Hechicero, three of the best wrestlers in the company. Not even kidding. You know, like, took on Mark Briscoe, Hologram, and Orange Cassidy. I wonder if it happened in... Do you think it happened in this?
What?
Or wait, did I write... Yeah, Hologram was in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think it happened in this match?
It must have, because then Tony Khan...
He seemed fine in this match, so... You know? Anyway. Yeah, Orange Cassidy returned here in the Don Carlos artwork showcase, as I called it. That was a great return for Orange Cassidy. Love Orange Cassidy. He was great here, you know. Yeah, Hologram just, like, went, like, kind of nuts in this one. Yeah, that's probably when he got hurt, honestly. You know what I mean? We're being honest. Not that he should stop, but I'm saying, like, you know, I did note down that he did look, like, kind of nuts in this match, so that might have been why. He might have just got a little too hard, you know? It might just happen, awesome. You know what I mean? It happens, you know? Yeah. Fantastic party match here, obviously. After the match, Kyle Fletcher arrived and had some things to say. Called him some dorks, and he wanted to face Hologram, undefeated streak versus title. And I've never been more excited for about 5 minutes for a match until what we found out later, you know? So that would have been insane if we could have pulled it off. I would have had no idea what's happening in that match, you know? I mean, I would say Kyle's winning, but I don't know if I want Hologram's streak to end like that. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. That would have been fun to talk about, you know? But, all right. Mina says she hasn't heard from Toni Storm, and that she, you know, wants to, you know, she's going to take her opportunities, but she hasn't heard from her. So I think she's going to hear from her soon, given the titles. So, you know, that would make sense. We got a video about a really good hype video for Jurassic Express's return. Hangman took on Hobbs. I'll be honest, this match disappointed me, dude. I wanted it to be more.
Yeah, Claudio and Hobbs. Yeah.
I don't know why. Not, I just like, didn't love it.
Didn't care for it.
Yeah. I wanted to like it, and I just didn't. All right, here's the important thing, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on this. Tony Khan comes up. Well, he doesn't come out. He's backstage, I think, or something like that. He's like in the back area.
And tosses it to Renee.
Yep, he tosses it over to Renee after he announces the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships. We get to see the new belt when Renee shows them. And honestly, this is one thing that we've been talking about on the show for a while. At first, we were kind of resistant to it because we didn't think we had the talent to do it, or at least the amount of teams to do it. And we've, over the last several months, built up different teams, and we have plenty of women that are good on the roster that have been established. I think it's the time, Charlie. Do you agree?
Let me extend on that, because it was never the talent. It was never about the talent. They've always had the talent to do it since we've been covering. It was about them being able to
you
book
can have
women's
12
matches,
people, but if
not for the title.
They're not six teams. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to build the teams up. You have to make them a team. You can't just be like, slap them together, tag team tournament. That's stupid. Like,
yeah, that's easy
to do.
They
needed that.
But what the problem was is for 3 years in this company, 4 years, they were completely unwilling to book women's matches that were not for titles or in the title scene. And that has been the one thing we kept saying before we even think about tag titles. We have to get more concrete evidence that they're actually going to book and get over multiple women. And having Mercedes and having some of these other women is those are such big storylines that they've also done the other stuff. So they've been doing it more and more. And I think this whole blood and guts thing that they've been building to has developed the teams. It's shown multiple times. Yes, we don't necessarily need titles to have these other women's feuds.
To know who was the person that pushed this year for the women to end up with blood and guts, because I know obviously Tony Khan obviously ended up making
the
decision.
It was a talent. Yeah,
no, I wonder, it had to have been, because it feels like it's been inevitable for a while now. So I wonder how much they talked about it backstage. It's,
yeah,
hey, if we all come together, we can get this done. We could become something more than just a second division to some people. You know, like,
my only hope is that they actually make the titles matter. It's so unbelievably hard to do, but I hope that they make them matter. And I have faith right now, much more than I would have 18 months ago, that they actually will make them matter. You have to do... The other part of my brain is saying, is this just going to delete other feuds entirely? Is it now the women's feuds only going to be world title, TBS title, and tag, no one else? Maybe. I don't know. But if we make these tag titles matter, I don't know if it'll be a problem. But if you need to, at least in your booking rotation, right, you got to have those three covered and then at least two other non-title feuds covered, because we can't lose sight of that. Because what we've done now is we've built up so many contenders. When we made the long case for Statlander and whoever else was in that championship match, we kept saying they've been busy. Even though they haven't been champions, they've been busy, right? We can't go away from that. Does that make sense? We can't just leave that.
Well,
past.
You can't just be like, all right, we have three women's titles now, so we only have to book three women's matches on every show. It's like, no, you should be building other stuff up around it. You have to build contenders too. And it has to be like the tag division, where right now we have FTR and Jet Speed, and that's probably your number one contender for the tag team titles. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, if we're being honest, right? Like, whoever wins that feud probably goes for the titles after whoever goes next, right? So, like,
yeah. And as far as I know, we didn't get a date on these, right?
No, but I think...
So next week during our new segment, we'll do an updated version of the women's
tag title
tournament.
The bracket probably.
We'll actually do a tournament.
Hopefully.
And if we don't have a bracket from AEW, we'll do our own.
Newsflash, we actually already have our own bracket.
And we can have fun with that.
We haven't given them to you. So even if they give us the bracket, we'll probably end up still doing that video and showing what we would have done. Because we did those, and we should definitely do something with that at some point, especially now that it's more relevant. So I think we should definitely record that video this weekend if we can.
Yeah, we'll do it in the news next week. So
copy.
But yeah, it's. I think it's exciting. You? Are you more confident now than before?
I don't think I was ever against it. I was never really as against it as you were, because I just, the women's action in AEW is so much better than anywhere else in the world, other than maybe like Tokyo Joshi Pro or one of those promotions like that. But like, it's, I've been never thought a women's division was booked well enough to deserve these titles, because it's not that they don't think the women can do it. They can. It's just that the booking has to be, and then the booking has to meet the talent in order for you to create good shit. Yeah. So like,
and to this date, we've never seen in any company that's not an all women's promotion them booked well enough to even fucking matter.
Didn't knockouts have like the women's tag team titles or something? And like, it was okay for a little bit, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I invented that in my head, but like
that, I mean, that's peak. We're talking about okay for a little bit, like in 2021. That is the best they've ever been booked.
Yeah.
So I have faith
in Tony Khan. I think he's going to figure it out. Whether it starts off a little rocky, maybe, but
it cannot start out rocky. It has to start out great.
It's,
this tournament has to be great.
But many titles champions have. Like we're like 2.5 title names removed from the international title at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, and there hasn't been a bad reign, so they're doing their thing. What, John Moxley's the weakest reign? Like, that's fine. I'm okay with that. That won't upset anyone.
I just hope that we get off to a good foot on like you said, because it'll be interesting to see. All right, we spent some good time on that. All right, I'm sorry, I just got a couple texts in the middle of that. Yeah, we had to follow this up with another match. This was the Chris Statlander versus Mitch Sherkawa AEW Women's World Championship match. Stat was showing off her power on super long vertical delay. Taz was left laying out in the mud there. It happens, you know. And Mina always delivering in these spots, you know what I mean? More Wheeler Yuta of it all. She's refused to join the Death Riders, so I guess that's cool. I guess she'll be standing against them. Maybe her versus, I think it just
sets up her and a Marina challenge, which I'm fine with for WrestleDream.
A lot of people are going to have a problem with that, I suspect, you know? There are a lot of people that have, I don't know where this comes from, but there's hate for her online, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't get it. She's fine. I've never seen her really have like a terrible match in AEW. I don't remember her having maybe on Dark back in the day, but I wasn't really expected to be bangers, you know what I mean? So whatever, weird people. Darby Allin has the flamethrower again. He wants an I Quit match with John Moxley at WrestleDream. So I mean, any thoughts on the I Quit match? Is the flamethrower going to be involved?
It might be, knowing these guys.
I mean, John Moxley is the type of guy to let you set him on fire for real, you know, like.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. We have the Allen and Shafir, or Darby Allin and Statlander versus Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta. I like that match for multiple reasons. I think that's the kind of match, too, where you could maybe show off a little bit of Shafir versus Statlander. And maybe that could be a test if you want to do this match. So
I'm really curious how she's going to work against Statlander, because usually the way she wrestles is very much she's the dominant, you know, like, you know, the way she wrestles, she does like the judo stuff, you know what I mean? So it's like, or maybe not. Yeah, I think it's judo anyway. Like, and so it's like, is she going to be able to manhandle Statlander like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so. So it'll be interesting to see how she has to. I don't know if we've ever seen her in that scenario, have we?
I, not that I can remember off the top of my head. So
it's been a while. She's that much taller, but she's physically yoked, and Marina is that sort of, you know, martial artist type of build. You know, like, it'll be interesting to see.
That it will be. Yeah, Harley Cameron again, just so great in this segment. She's just so good anywhere you put her. All right, let's jump into Collision. We've talked about the only thing that matters, so no. But the Death Riders versus the Paragon, solid stuff here. Death Riders picked up the Paragon and Daddy Magic. Solid stuff here. There wasn't too much to when Garcia Menard ended up in the ring. I feel like we're saving that for a 1v1. That's kind of the main note I had here. Super Dragon style curb stomp for the victory. Fucking brutal pin. Brutal pin.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that works. Big time.
Yeah, that's Brody a good King announces, for him.
Yeah, he announces he wants revenge on the DCF. And Young Bucks for their assault on Kenny. Yosh and the Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega and Brandido at Dynamite.
You're giving me Kenny Omega on my birthday? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. Death Riders versus Job Squad 6000. This version was Yuta and Shafir. So good stuff here. Just getting Rachel Ellering's actually in this match. Cool to see her. Yuta grabbed the mic. Said Statlander made the wrong decision. And he also threatened to murder Darby Allin and drop his body on Everest. GG's.
That's kind of metal. He's going to literally climb Everest just to leave Darby's body there. Crazy.
Sir Adam Page IV, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs. We're backstage.
He hasn't ascended to Lord Adam Page now that he's world champion again. That's crazy.
So they were just talking shit, and I was down with it. The Acclaimed defeated the Swirl.
Yeah. Did the Acclaimed defeat them? Are they the Acclaimed again yet?
Look,
my thoughts on this are how fucking physically Bowens is reacting to this in the ring. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and Blake Christian and Lee Johnson are kind of where the Outriders were. Was that their name? They're kind of where those guys were. So,
oh, you mean the workhorsemen or something like
Outrunners.
That? Outrunners. Oh,
where they're just losing to people that are not even getting along. They're basically losing to 1v2s.
Essentially,
It worked out for the Outrunners. So
yeah, no, it's a much more serious team. So once they actually get established, they'll be
probably. As another wrestling commentator said before, these guys look like geeks.
A little bit, yeah.
That always makes me laugh. It's one of those stupid things that's always in my head.
How do we feel the tag name, too? The Swirl?
I mean, it's kind of funny.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but I mean, it's like...
It's honestly something everyone's kind of afraid to say in the current year, so it makes me chuckle a little bit, because, they're like, fuck that. Whatever. Just call themselves
the Orioles. Is like the woke wrestling promotion, but then also this, Yeah, and also Max Caster,
Yeah. All right. We had a lot of chagrining backstage here. Mother Wayne, Kip Sabian, and Nick Wayne in a three-way. Now, they said, Wayne said that after this injury, the average human wouldn't be able to walk again. But I'm not average. I'm Christian Cage's biggest nightmare. And I'm always one step ahead. Then Schiavone. Is he good to go, you think?
Based on the way he talked, I would say so. I mean,
that would be huge if he is.
Yeah, if he's able to wrestle at WrestleDream against Christian Cage, and that's just the bump off for a month, and he comes back, Cope comes back at the end of that match because he's getting his shit kicked out of him by the two of them. Like I said, maybe they add somebody else to the group to replace Killswitch or Luchasaurus again now, But I'm trying to think, are there any loose big meats out there that could use a a partner or a tag?
There's a couple.
I can't even think of any off the top of my head, but
Shivani did the NWA style announcing of the four upcoming shows. Cool stuff. Hype video for the women's tag team championships. And then they instantly cut to Ty J, who is probably, if we're guessing right now, I would say Ty J and then Penelope Ford and Mega Bane are the favorites.
Yeah, favorites for winning the tag team titles first, for sure.
So It immediately cuts to them. So note that. So these officially are the favorites now. Because they are the first ones.
They are correct. They've been pushing for this for years. They were two of the only people wrestling in, and it was every single feud that they had, they would wrestle tag matches as Taya Jay. Even if the Taya had been off TV for months, if Anna Jay was being featured on TV, she was going to come back and help her at some point in that story. That is how much they've been pushing for this. I'll give it to them,
Hey, it's one of our pillars. I'm in. My new favorite trio, Cowpoke Paul, Corey Sparks, and KM, lose to my new favorite trio. Again, the Outrunners and Dalton Castle.
I mean, nothing. Again, the Outrunners and Dalton Castle, it looks like it writes itself. Like, yes.
It does.
1,000 times yes.
Bangarang.
Them spinning around while he was bangaranging, bro. Yeah, come on. Right?
It just works. And Cowpoke Paul. Come on. We need Taz to call that guy's name.
Cowpoke Paul on a taco. No.
I was so offended by that name, I followed the guy on Instagram.
The hell does cowpoke? Not even gonna ask.
Exactly. It got me. So thank you, Esquire. Mark Briscoe doing his thing. He's coming for gold with Orange Cassidy. Is that the way I wrote
it? Championships. Yeah. I mean, hey, number versus Brobidio. That'd be a banger of a match.
We had the great Kyle Fletcher match.
How long has it been since we actually had? It was something in the not the Young Bucks. There was a tag team title arena a few years ago where we had a face versus face match and it went the fuck off. Like,
oh yeah, it'll do good.
You sounded like the dude in fucking Madden.
Oh yeah, Kyle Fletcher recap doing the injury angle. Orange Cassidy stepped up. OC versus Kyle Fletcher. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The match is gonna slap. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eddie Kingston and Hook announced that the tag match between them and Brian Bill and Big Keith was a... Brian Bill? Big Keith? God damn it. Big Bill and Brian Keith was a tornado tag. It was fine.
Brian Bill and Big Keith is awesome.
Again, everyone's still finding their footing, so... Hook.
I'm Brian Bill and Big Keith. I know what Keith Lee's doing.
Big Keith fell into the red rum from Hook and for the submission, so... And then we knew it was going to happen. I said it from the very moment he joined the company. How long can they resist? Though they kept him off TV, and well, guess what? Ace Austin joined the Bullet Club Gold. I mean, look.
Yeah.
It sets up for such a big angle when the other two are back, too.
We knew this.
Austin? Austin. That's so fucking good. It was one of those things. Good.
Yeah, so that'll be good. It made too much sense. And again, I think they didn't really have much plans for Ace Austin. And that was why.
I want a trios run out of this specific trio. I want them to win the titles, please.
Let's
thank
get
you.
The trios. I couldn't agree more. Let's get the trios fucking going, dude. Let's get it rolling. Let's do it.
Obviously, that's what a trios team should be. These three guys got brought together out of necessity, and they would have probably been together anyway, but because of the circumstances, that's where they go, and they're going to be a great team. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously no surprise that I'm joining, but so you're liking the pairing. I am too. I mean, it just makes sense. And that's a group that doesn't recruit. So we often mention that when a group doesn't recruit, you know, when someone joins the Death Riders, it means that much more. And when someone joins Bullet Club Gold, who's very, very protected, these four guys have been together since Collision Episode 1. Like, they've been together for forever. So, yeah, good stuff. And then our second women's main event of the week, which both women's main events worked again. I like that. I hope that's a good sign.
You know what? That's kind of cool. He made a big announcement for the women this week, two big announcements for the women's this week, and he gave them both the main event. That's him putting his stamp of approval on everything for sure.
And it worked. And Jamie Hayter defeated Julia Hart here in a solid match. I'm absolutely loving Jamie Hayter's. She is back in full swing when it comes to work, like, you know, wrestling, if you will. And Julia Hart looked great as well. So I'm excited for her to do her little Mexican, you know, Mexico run here. That'll be cool. In the Grand Prix. Solid main event. Sky Blue and Julia attacked her after the match. Queen Aminata ran down. Hayter grabs the mic. She's, I'm sick of you using your numbers to attack me. Exactly. Like, that was a clip from the show.
Yeah, that wasn't Charlie.
Blood and guts. What do you got, dude? First ever women's blood and guts match.
Look, I don't want to alarm anybody. Women are going to be visibly scarred after this match because the women have always got a chip on their shoulder in these fucking violent matches, and I love the men, but the women do it in a different way, man. It is fucking gonna be insanely brutal. We've seen some crazy shit already in Blood and Guts. This is gonna make our fucking blood, like, we're gonna be fucking squirming in our chairs, buddy. It's gonna
absolutely
be fucking nasty.
And we have been clamoring for this to be the Blood and Guts this year, because the last year with the men's especially, they just threw it together last minute, and this is the most built-up Blood and Guts we've ever had.
It was last year, it just wrote itself because Death Riders were everything, you know what I mean? So it's like you had to do a certain way, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm just, the past 2 years even, they just threw it together. After the first year of Blood and Guts, they just started doing it, oh, well, we have to do it. And that's what it felt like. It got the Hell in a Cell treatment. Oh, well, it's that time of the month, let's do it. The women's version here has earned it. It's built it up. It's the best Blood and Guts build we've had yet. And it's still like 6 weeks away. So this is going to be fucking awesome. I couldn't be more excited. This is, again, if Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata is the tag team, by the way, fuck you, I'm booking them to win. So eat shit, asshole. But that's the greatest team I've ever seen. So you, buddy, little shitbird over there, I see you.
Little you don't see shit. We're not in a fucking video call, bitch.
Veganite. Fucking Kryptonite, huh?
Yeah, I'm Veganite the third, the fucking glorious.
Yeah, there's no
you
such
fucking,
thing as Kryptonite.
You respect my name, the glorious. Ezekiel Asshat the third.
Good week, though. I mean, look, they were weaker weeks of AEW because AEW, you know, sometimes the standard's insane. And that's just the reality. So we call it like it is. But even if we had a weaker week, it was still, we had some big fun announcements and all of that shenanigans that we had. So, yeah, I was going to read the card. I just lost it. Son of a... There it is. All right. So, Dynamite, Hangman, Adam Page, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs versus the Death Riders. Kenny Omega and Brodie versus Josh Yosh Alexander and the Young Bucks. Fletcher versus Orange Cassidy. Oh, God. Jurassic Express returns and timeless Tony Storm returns. Chris Statlander and Darby Allin versus Wheeler Yuta and Minoreena Shafir. And then all we have announced for WrestleDream so far is I Quit. John Moxley versus Darby Allin. And Duke, that is it for us today. So, thank you everyone.
Mondo. Hey, Monday.
But yeah, we mentioned it already, but one battle after another, I think this is going to be one of the most popular movies of the year. Just like Sinners, just like K-Pop Demon Hunters, other movies we have covered. If you are into the cinema, into all movies and shit like that, ESE Fantasy. Again, I will put it in the description, the link tree that we use. So yeah, if you want to check that out, would greatly appreciate it. As always, oh my God, someone wrote to us on Spotify. Hold on. I was going to say, if you write to us on Spotify, we'll get to it next week, but I almost forgot our boy here. Hold on. Da-da-da-da-da, we're getting to Spotify. It's not loading.
You got fucked.
Why do you do this to us, Spotify? J-Man, thanks for writing in on the All Out 2025 review. I think this is your first time writing to us. Really appreciate that. He said, thank you for this episode. I enjoyed All Out 2025. I didn't watch WrestlePalooza. I didn't get to it either myself. And I think AEW is better quality than WWE. Look, when it comes to the wrestling, that's the thing we always mention. It's night and day difference. It's how they treat it. I think that's the fundamental difference of the two is AEW. They treat it more like a sport, and to WWE, it's a TV show, and that's fine. Look, I think it's the best of both worlds, right? You know, you can like what you like, and I think AEW, they just treat it like a sport. So yeah, we'll get out of here. It just said you started recording on a new track, so I'm sure the rest of it's good anyways. But that being said, guys, thank you so much for checking the show out, and we will catch you next week
for some anniversary.